A big day here at the UC Health Training Center as we unveil Andrew Mason's first mock draft of draft season is officially underway here at the Pat Bowlen Fieldhouse. Hello and thank you for joining us. I'm Phil Milani alongside the Andrew Mason and former Bronco Casey Jones. Guys, before we get to your first mock draft, today the NFL officially announced the complete set of entries for the draft this year. And Mace, a record 106 early entries.
Yeah, and no surprise that would be that many. And certainly if you look at most mock drafts, including mine, you're going to see a lot of those early entry guys on the list. And certainly if you're ready for the NFL, if you believe you're ready, better to go ahead and move on and at least kind of take those hits, get that wear and tear while you're getting a paycheck. I think that's part of the rationale for a lot of these guys. But then again, you know, 106, a lot of those guys aren't going to be picked. We saw it last year. We'll see it again this year.
Yeah, Mace, a third of the guys that entered early last year went undrafted. Casey, why, from a player's perspective, why do you think they're coming out so early?
Well, it's a trend that's been developing over the last 3 or 4 years. 22 of the 32 draft picks in the first round last year were underclassmen, so that kind of shows you a little bit something. But I think I think players are assessing their risk, their draft position, and then also with the college football playoff extending the season, that risk of injury is getting greater and greater.
Yeah, and Bryce Love was the big guy who decided to go back to Stanford. He was a Heisman runner-up. Why do you think maybe a degree from Stanford is a little bit more valuable, huh, Mace?
Well, yeah, and I think as long as he stays healthy, it shouldn't hurt him. And the other thing you consider Bryce Love, he probably goes into next season as a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. I think that's something that means an awful lot to him as well. And then the other thing, Casey talked about the playoff. Also, look at guys sitting out bowls. You know, we're seeing Derwin James, who's a likely first-round safety, didn't play in the bowl for Florida State. Bradley Chubb sat out the bowl for NC State, the Sun Bowl against Arizona State. So more and more guys are sitting out those games that used to be the biggest on the schedule at the end of the year, the bowl games, but now more and more are starting to become glorified exhibitions in some way.
Everybody's in a rush to get out of college. Man, I enjoyed college. I didn't want to get out, right, Casey?
I stay the entire time, the 5 years, man. I'd like to go back right now. But I think with the underclassmen coming out, it makes it a more competitive draft, but also makes it a riskier draft. People have the teams have less time to assess these talented people, especially off the field and what their characters are.
All right. Well, I know that there's a lot of underclassmen in Mace's first mock draft. Let's get to it, Mace, your top five guys.
Yeah, we'll start with Sam Darnold, number one to Cleveland. There's another underclassman right there. Start with the quarterback. Another quarterback, number two. Another underclassman, Josh Rosen, UCLA. Have him going to the Giants. Number three, Bradley Chubb. Not an underclassman, like I mentioned. He did sit out NC State's bowl game. I think the best edge rusher in this draft right now. You know, he's a guy who kind of added some weight over the course of his career at NC State, but kept the quickness, so, you know, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I've got him going to the Colts, who really need a pass rusher. Saquon Barkley, another underclassman right there. Number four to Cleveland. And then finally,
drum roll.
With the fifth pick on the first mock draft, very early, I have the Broncos taking a guy they'll be working with next week at the Senior Bowl, Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. Of course, we'll be unveiling Mace's entire mock draft on DenverBroncos.com. But, Casey, that's the first time that you heard that. What's your reaction?
This is my look of not being shocked. I'm not shocked. What have we been talking about for the last 8 weeks? We've been talking about quarterbacks. Quarterback-centric town, quarterback-centric team, quarterback-centric drafts. So I think I like the pick with Baker Mayfield. He has that dynamic personality on and off the field. He can make plays with his feet. He's very accurate, and you're going to get a first look at him, a real close look with him at the Senior Bowl. Where's the love for the big guys? Where's the love for the big guys? Orlando Brown, Connor Williams, they're not to appear. I love Saquon Barkley. I think he was probably NFL ready last year. Mm-hmm. But where's Derwin James? Where is he going to fit into this? I think there's a lot of time for teams to assess the talent that's out there. There's going to have the Senior Bowl. You're going to have the combine, obviously, and then also the team's pro days across the country. So there's a lot of time to assess the talent and what's going to go into this draft.
Well, what could happen this year in a quarterback-centric year? I mean, this may be like 1983 in terms of the number of quarterbacks that go into the first round. And what that can do is it can push talented guys who might be top five, top 10 players other years, maybe push them down the 15s and 20s to where they could be excellent value. I mean, I didn't even mention, like, Quentin Nelson is not in the top five, but I think he's the best offensive lineman in this draft, Nelson out of Notre Dame. And, I mean, he's, I I hate to say sure thing, but he might be the closest thing to a sure thing in this draft class.
We might talk about him in just a minute here, but Mace, like you mentioned, let's take a look. You have six quarterbacks going here in the first round. Let's get to some of these other guys, starting with Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen, I have him going to Washington, number 13. Basically, the belief there is that they will probably lose Kirk Cousins unless something changes. We'll see. You know, we had Doug Williams on Orange and Blue 760 this week. You know, he's in Washington's front office now. Of course, the former quarterback from back in the 1980s. And he was a bit more conciliatory about Kirk Cousins and where he might fit and how he played than Jay Gruden was in some of his responses just after the season. So, you know, maybe things are thawing a little bit. We'll see. But somehow I think this is going to end with Kirk Cousins not in Washington. Thus, I think Washington goes QB.
Interesting. You have him going 13th there. Mel Kiper, of course, unveiled his mock draft. He had him going number one overall. Mm-hmm. Moving down the list here, you got Mason Rudolph going to Buffalo, 22nd overall.
Yeah, we were all hoping to see Mason Rudolph at the Senior Bowl next week, but he's got a foot sprain, so he's not going to take part in the week. So that would have helped him out, I think, as far as getting a chance to run a pro-style offense, because Oklahoma State's offense is quite a jump going to the NFL, doing a lot of different things. At the same time, talented player, pretty accurate quarterback, has all the size measurables you want, and I think that the mid to late first round is probably the right spot for Mason Rudolph.
And then finally, another underclassman here, Lamar Jackson, the Heisman winner from 2 years ago out of Louisville, going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and again, that's a little bit of a projection. You don't know, you know, you're wondering what's going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe he'll retire, maybe he'll come back, but even if he comes back, he's going into year 15. He's got a lot of wear and tear. His contract is actually up after the 2019 season, so Pittsburgh may be in a position to start kind of planning for the future. I don't think anybody really believes that Landry Jones is the long-term successor to Ben Roethlisberger. And Lamar Jackson he'd be an interesting pick, and I think a potentially very good pick for Pittsburgh, especially if they could kind of ease him along a little bit and because he's not going to be able to run the ball 18 times a game as he did at Louisville. He's going to have to change his style. At the same time, there's a lot of talent there, and I have six quarterbacks in the first round. If that happens, Phil and Casey, be the most since 1983.
What do you think about that, Casey? Six quarterbacks. I know you don't like to see
it. It's a lot, and I think that there's definitely needs to be filled. I think when you talk about Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger retiring, and I think it's also important to note that with Lamar Jackson, you get a dynamic quarterback that matches the personality of the team. I think I think that's a great fit. And I also think that Lamar Jackson also has the highest upside. I think he's going to be able to climb up a couple notches in the draft as well.
I think it's a sign of the times. The most important position in all of sports, obviously, the quarterback position. And it's something that the Broncos have mentioned that they do want to address this offseason. Mm-hmm. John Elway said that over and over. But, Mace, what if they go in free agency? They get a guy like you mentioned, Kirk Cousins. Give me some other guys who are on your mock draft here that the Broncos could look to with that fifth overall pick.
Well, I had Saquon Barkley going number four to Cleveland, but if the Broncos have addressed the quarterback situation, depending on what happens at running back, he might be a guy they look at number five. Certainly, he looks ready to go, tailor-made to succeed at the next level in every way. Everything you want in a running back. Minkah Fitzpatrick, if the Broncos do decide to kind of get younger in the defensive backfield, that he could be a possibility from Alabama. I've got him right now going number seven to Tampa Bay, but certainly he's in that top five, top 10 discussion. You know, he can be a corner, can be used at safety as well. A very versatile defensive back, just extremely effective. And then Quentin Nelson, who I mentioned earlier, I think he's the best offensive lineman in this draft. And yes, you know, normally you don't pick guards number five, but Nelson is just an overwhelming player, probably the best guard prospect to come out in the last several years. Ready-made to, I think, not only be a contributor as a rookie, but maybe one of the best guards in the NFL right away.
With a guy like Nelson, it seems like this Broncos offensive line would be pretty much set for maybe the next 10 years almost.
Yeah, that would definitely solidify that offensive line. But on my side, if you do have that veteran quarterback in free agency, I think you pick the best available at number five. I don't think you want to chase. You don't necessarily want to chase a quarterback. You go after a playmaker like Calvin Ridgely, or go after maybe a Derwin James, who's a dual threat at defensive back and also returning kicks, and you know, which we've struggled with in the past. So I think with the quarterback pick in free agency, it allows you to pick the first the best available with that number five pick.
Gosh, it's hard to imagine what this offense could look like if they get a solidified quarterback, a huge playmaker, maybe an offensive lineman. Let's wrap this thing up here. We talked about the underclassmen. We talked about the mock draft here. Is there some risk drafting an underclassman here if you go, maybe they need a little bit more time, and when you're sitting there at that fifth pick, you want a guy who can come in and play right away, right?
Yeah, but I think most of these underclassmen, at least the ones we're talking about in the first round, I think they are ready to play right away. And certainly we can just kind of look back at some of the underclassmen coming out, especially at running back. You look at it, like Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette. Certainly the fact that they came out early didn't deter them from being extremely effective players right away. If you're good enough, if you've accomplished everything you could accomplish at the college level individually, then you're probably ready for this step.
You agree, Casey? These guys got to be ready to play nowadays right away.
I think so, too, but I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes beyond having a hunch or a gut feeling or falling in love with a certain player. I think it's critical that they assess every quarterback, every position, as much as they can, get as much information and get as much face time with that first-round draft pick as possible so you know that guy. And remember, we're talking about 20 and 21-year-old kids, basically, that you're putting the future of the franchise in their fate.
Well, the good thing is that they'll get a close look at Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and others at the Senior Bowl coming up next week. And if you like what you heard here, you'll hear a lot more of that coming up on First and 10 at 10 next week. Andrew Mason, Ryan Edwards, and Steve Atwater. That's it's 10 to noon Monday through Friday next week. And Mace, you got a special recap show coming up too, right?
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Join us at 6 p.m. for an hour-long recap of everything that went on at the Senior Bowl practices. Who stood out? Who's up? Who's down? Myself, Ryan, and Steve will have it all for you live from Mobile.
And we'll have a lot of live coverage also on DenverBroncos.com and also on some of our social platforms as well. All right, that's going to do it for us. Check out Andrew Mason's mock draft, the full list on DenverBroncos.com. But until then, for Casey Jones, Andrew Mason, I'm Phil Malone.